It's your favorite inconsistent podcasters.
It's us. We're back. Shittier than ever.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite phrase for us. But we're not shitty. We're good people.
We try. Some of us are good people.
We try. We try our best anyways.
Yeah.
Listen.
We're divine.
What is it called?
I don't know. What does deviant mean?
Deviant?
Is that a word?
Deviant?
Yes.
A deviant's like a sicko.
Ew. Never mind.
Like a twisted individual.
Scratch that.
Strike from the record. Listen, podcasting is like kind of hard whenever you work a full-time job and whenever you have a life outside of reading about people getting fucking slaughtered.
Dude, seriously. Which I feel like now, just to plug in our other podcast, it would be kind of better just because it's you get done about reading about like ruthless like murders and then we got to talk about dick.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
So, you know, life's about balance.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need some dick to balance
some quack.
It's like a different pound of flesh, right? Some is like dead people and some is like hot sex people.
Yes. Our new podcast is called
The Smut Club.
Yeah. And we're going to try and upload like pretty much every other Monday, like consistently with this podcast. Right. So if y'all like some erotic books, come on over.
Yeah. You know, it's a good time. It's a fun time.
Tickle your pickle.
Tickle your pickle or whatever you have, man. Your bean, whatever.
Ew.
Your pickle, your beans, all the proteins.
Ew. Flush with meat.
Come all.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Alrighty, I guess get back. I seriously feel like I'm talking like a Teletubby. I just need that little vacuum that sucks all the things.
Okay, it's time to get serious because this is a very serious story.
Okay.
I feel bad for laughing. It's not that I'm laughing at this misfortune. It's just that I'm laughing because Hogwarts just like looks at me with her little eyes. Well, they're not so little. Anyways, okay. So listen. We're getting into this thing. So this was like a story that it's like a fucking bummer. And I know I always say that. Like every murder is a fucking bummer. I know that. But like this is just like it's like one of those things that was just like so senseless.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just felt that this one was like particularly upsetting because it was truly just senseless. There was just no real motive and no real resolution in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the murder of Tim McLean. So Tim was a normal young man. He was born on October 3rd, which we're almost birthday twins.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I guess. Like, I don't know. But his birthday's a day before mine. I just thought I had to mention that.
Okay.
Because I love talking about my birthday. Anyways. So he was from British Columbia, Canada, and he traveled often for his job because he was, he worked for a carnival. He was a carny.
Oh.
Like, in all the articles, they put, like, carny and, like, quotation marks.
Like, is that a, like...
I know, I'm like, is that, like, a derogatory term for, like, carnival workers?
That sounds stupid.
For carnival workers to call them carnies. But, so he worked for a carnival, and so it wasn't uncommon for him to, whenever he was coming back from wherever the carnival was at, to take the bus back home.
Right.
So on this night of July 30th, 2008, he was on his way home from work, and he sat on the back of the bus by himself when a tall man named Vince Lee with a bald head and sunglasses boarded the bus. First, he sat at the front of the bus, and fellow passengers said that he was really weird. He seemed really agitated, and he kept pacing back and forth. Like, he would sit down, and then he would just get up and start pacing back and forth. And he would just be whispering to himself the whole time. And somebody saw that he had, like, a huge, like, fucking Rambo knife. That's, like, what one of the witnesses described it as. It's, like, a big, like, defense, like, Rambo knife. That it was,
like,
huge.
Was it, like, tucked into his shirt?
Yeah, he had it on his hip.
Oh.
It was sheathed on his hip. And, like I said, he was just pacing back and forth, whispering to himself, just making people really uncomfortable. So the bus stopped, and he got off of the bus, and he was taking a smoke break. And then whenever the bus boarded back, all the people were getting back on the bus once more. Instead of sitting at the front of the bus where he was originally, he went and sat next to Tim. And Tim just kind of nodded at him. He didn't really acknowledge him much more than that. And he just put his headphones on and then he leaned his head against the window to go to sleep. And after a few moments, after Tim had fallen asleep, Vince had taken out the large knife and he started to stab Tim through the neck and the chest.
Oh.
Yeah. And so Tim screamed. Obviously,
yeah,
he screamed loudly. And a lot of the witnesses say that this is like what they remember. Oh. Like, so clearly is, like, his just scream. The sound of him screaming. He starts fighting back against his attacker, and obviously people were hearing him scream, so people started to realize what was going on. And Tim fought against his attacker desperately. Like, the two were, like, going at it. And some of the passengers even tried to pull him off of Tim, and mm-hmm. then he just kind of started, like, swinging at them with the knife, psychopath. You know?
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, shit, I don't want to die either, you know? Mm-hmm. So they just kind of, like, backed off, and the bus driver pulled over the bus, and all of the passengers just, like, fucking ran for their lives, literally. And some of the passengers, they realized that the doors were still open, so they mm-hmm. didn't want him to be able to escape. So he was still at this point, like, kind of like pretty much hacking away at Tim's body.
Oh my God.
And they tried to go and lock first they tried to get him off of Tim to see if they could possibly save him still, and like he just started slashing at them and like started chasing them off the bus. And then whenever they had managed to get off the bus, they tried to close the doors, and they weren't able to close them at first because he was trying to like reach through and like stab them.
Trying to get out.
Yeah. And then they just kind of ran away, and then he backed off after they ran away, and then he just kind of went back to where he like to Tim's body and just kind of kept, you know, doing whatever. Just like slashing at Tim's body like with his huge fucking knife, and he ended up decapitating him. And he went to the windows where like the people were standing outside, like the passengers watching? Where they were watching, and he like held up
his head to sick.
Them. Yeah. And they were just, people obviously started to like freak the fuck out. People were like puking, they were crying. Like, that's like something that you don't, that like humans aren't supposed to see ever happen ever. And so for that to like, I'm sure that those people couldn't even reconcile in their minds like what the fuck they were seeing.
No,
you know?
Dude, that must have been like a sick nightmare.
Yeah, literally. Like, that's like the shit that you like
see in horror movies.
Literally, like, in horror movies. Like, that's not real life. And so if that wasn't enough, he went back to the body and he started cutting parts off of the body and he started eating them.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Eating them. Was he, like, crouched down, like, little gremlin, like, eating them? Or, yeah. Like, in front of, like, the other people?
Well, no, he was, like, I would assume he was, like, crouched down on the body. But, like, people could still see. They could visibly see that he was eating the body.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so, after that, the police were obviously alerted to the situation. And it was about 8 p.m. at this point. And Vince was still on the bus. But upon seeing, like, all the police arriving, you know, because they said, there's a fucking maniac on this bus, you know.
Yeah.
They know what he did. So he tried to get away using the bus, but, like, obviously he was panicked himself, and so he accidentally triggered the emergency immobilizing system, which keeps the bus from moving. Like, you cannot move it, yeah. And so he wasn't able to move the bus at all. And so once he realized that he wasn't going to be going anywhere, he said, now I have to stay on this bus forever.
Oh, does that mean he's going to kill himself?
Well, you'll see. So, obviously, more police start to arrive, negotiators start to arrive, and they're trying to talk to Vince, and they're trying to talk him down, trying to get him off the bus. And for nearly 5 hours, there was a standoff with Vince and the police, and he refused to get off the bus, and he just kept pacing back and forth and back and forth, and then he would occasionally stop to eat more of the body, and then he would just get up and start pacing back and forth, and eventually, he just got frustrated with that situation. He was like, I guess he grew bored or whatever. I think he just was like agitated because he was like, we'll get into a little bit more of his background, but he's has a lot of like mental.
Oh yeah, I couldn't tell by him like, eating.
In case you didn't
eating his lunch.
In case you couldn't gather it, he has like a lot of you know, shit going on up there. But eventually, he tried to break one of the windows of the bus. And the police apprehended him. Obviously, he was completely surrounded, so I don't know what he thought. Like,
you know what's weird, though? It's just, like, you see this maniac literally eating away at another human being, and you're, like, why? What do you need to negotiate? Like, why is this person even, like...
Well, see, and I don't know if that is, like, in part of where this is taking place, because this is in Canada.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know Canadian police like that. So I don't know if, like, they're, like, taught to, like, no, you have to negotiate. You have to do, like, every avenue before you shoot, before you kill somebody, because...
And this is a conversation I do mean to have, like, once we hit my story, because it's an interesting topic. Remind me about that later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know why they spent 5 hours trying to negotiate with this man, but I just don't think that they wanted him to die. And I think the person that he had killed was already dead, you know, so there wasn't really anybody that they needed to necessarily save. Like, they were like, oh, we got to take him out so that we can save this person. Right. Like, he's holding hostages. Like, the damage was already done. And I think at this point they were just kind of like trying to lessen the casualties as much as they possibly could. Okay. Which, okay, makes sense. You know, makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he tried to bust out of the window. And then at this point, it's about 1:30 a.m. And he was and he was arrested by police and he was taken into custody. And while he was in custody, they found Tim's ears, nose, and tongue in his pockets.
No, not in his pockets.
In his pockets, bro.
Like, they were fucking some loose change and shit?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Evil. It's
dude, demented.
I don't even want to, like, imagine what the people who were, like, number one on the bus had to see. Because that's another thing. I didn't really go into it a whole lot in the story, like, in the retelling of the story, really, but... So many of those people that were on that bus are, like, traumatized for the rest of their life. Of like, have PTSD. Like,
there's imagine, this girl. Imagine, like, seeing buses and being triggered. Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, that's the thing. That a lot of them, they're like, I can't even take, like, any public transportation anymore. Like, I had to, like, quit my job.
Oh, wow.
There was this lady who, like, developed, like, a drug habit. And, like, her kids were taken from her. Like, just a lot of people who had, like, who normal just witnessed life. Something. Yeah.
At the wrong place at the wrong time.
Exactly. And they just have, like, the misfortune of, like, witnessing something like that. Like I said, you know, like, nobody's meant to see things like that.
Yeah.
First of all, nobody's meant to do things like that to another person, but to have to see it happen, you know, like, that fucks with you. It stays with you forever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they found all that gruesome shit in his pockets. And like I said, like, I don't even want to imagine, like, what that scene looked like. Mm-hmm. Like, the people who were, like, could you imagine, dude, like, being, like, okay, like, we gotta frisk him and, like, thinking that you're just gonna find, like, his wallet and you find a fucking tongue.
Do you think, like, people that, is there, like, a special kind of police officer that you're, like, for those situations, you're, like, okay, or do they just be, like, hey, noob, come here, go frisk this dude?
No, I would think that they probably have,
because imagine, like, it being, like, your first fucking day. You're, like, damn.
Your first day on the job.
Yeah, I was, like, I just graduated at the police academy. Like, I'm so excited to do my job. And they're, like, come fucking frisk this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you find, like, someone's nose in their pocket.
Exactly.
Like, what do you even do? You're, like...
Dude, I'd quit that very moment. I'd be, like, I'm not touching that motherfucker. You're not gonna make me touch him. He's dude. Fucking crazy, dude. He's off his fucking rocker, that one.
Oh.
But... Yeah, so they also had found plastic bags that Vince had placed some of the body parts in mm-hmm. the bus, and they never were able to recover Tim's eyes and part of his heart, and they just presumed that those were eaten.
Oh, my God. His eyes.
His eyes and his heart. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I feel like that means something, but I don't know what. Either way, terrifying. So... During all of this time, while they're having, like, this standoff with police, there's news outlets that arrive on the scene,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking to some of the passengers, and you can find the interviews online, but they're, like, I don't know, they're just, like, really unsettling, because, like, there's this one guy specifically who's being interviewed, and I don't remember what his name was, but, like, his eyes are just huge, and he's just, like, talking about this, and he was one of the passengers who was trying to stop him, who was trying to, like, pull mm-hmm. him off of him, and who was, like, getting, like, slashed at, and who tried to lock the doors. He was one of those passengers, and he was just telling the news. He was, like, yeah, he just started stabbing him. I just turned around, and I heard him scream, and he was just stabbing him in the chest and in the neck, and, like, this, like, his eyes are, like, dilated, dude, and he's, like, he just looks, like, shell-shocked, like, literally.
Oh,
and, like, the interview's like, was there a lot of blood? Like, just asking, like, this gruesome
how
shit.
How insensitive, like.
So insensitive. I'm like, who the fuck? I don't know. That's a different topic for another day, dude. But, like, just completely, like, trying to exploit this situation mm-hmm. and exploit these passengers and exploit their fucking trauma, you know?
Right.
So that happened. And one of the witnesses, Garnet Caton, said that he was shocked by how calm Vince was through the attack. He said there was no rage or anything. He was like a robot stabbing the guy, which I think is so terrifying.
Like, no thoughts, empty thoughts.
Head empty. Just cannibalism.
Ah. Not completely empty.
I know. So Vince was taken into custody, and whenever he was appearing in court for, you know, where he was being like, I don't know if you would call it like arraigned, mm-hmm. but he was basically like, after his arrest, he was taken to court to basically like
sentence.
Yeah. Not to sentence him, but to tell him like, these are your charges. This is what we're going to charge you with, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, they said that they had charged him with second degree murder. So when Vince appeared in court, he was held at the Portage La Prairie. I don't know, French. They're Canadian.
Okay.
he was held at this courthouse on charges of second degree murder. And the people that were around him said that he repeatedly was just, like, uttering words of, like, for somebody to kill him. Like, he wasn't talking to anybody. He just kind of kept, like, mumbling and murmuring to himself, just, like, asking for somebody to kill him.
Like, literally, someone kill me?
Yeah. Mm, scary.
Oh, my God.
I know, dude. He's, like, he's fucked 10 different fucking ways to Sunday. Like, truly just insane. So I didn't really get into Vince's background a lot, so I want to take a moment to kind of talk about his life. Really, there was nothing really that I could think that, like, I could trace that was, oh, this was the thing,
defining moment,
this was life. The moment that traumatized yeah. him, that changed him forever.
Really
See,
okay, so our podcast is also like talks about like possessions. Like, I did the family at Eamon's possession, I think. Mm-hmm. Do you think he was possessed? Like,
do I think he was possessed? I don't know, dude. It's hard.
Fucking bonkers. Of course, it all believes. It's all
it's just hard to say wise, because yeah. I feel like there's a part of me that's like, ooh, there's spooky, crazy shit out there. Like, we don't know what's out there. And obviously, like, we were both raised, like, in a church. And mm-hmm. so we kind of, like, I don't know, like, whenever right. I hear somebody say, like, oh my God, they're possessed by a demon, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're possessed, it's a demon, it's the devil, you know, like, yeah. I freak out. But really, realistically, a lot of these people do just have, like, a lot of mental illnesses that just go untreated, and they just spread, and they just make this person really sick and believe a lot of this crazy shit and believe these crazy realities.
Dude, and that's why it's kind of sad, because I'm like, would he gotten to the extent of where he was at if he was just looked after in a different manner?
Well, see, and that's the thing, is that I can't pinpoint anything that would say, like, oh, well, he was neglected. Or, mm-hmm. And again, there was very limited information available on his life prior to the attack. So mm-hmm. I can't okay. really say that he had, like, that his life was just perfect and there was nothing wrong in his life. But again, like, going through a tragedy, having mental illness, whatever the case may be, is not an excuse.
Right.
For your grief or your whatever to manifest in something like this. You know, yeah. There's just no excuse for that. So, Vince was actually born in Dandong. You know, it's a little too early for dongs. That's for the next. That's for the next show. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Bad joke. Okay, so he was born in Dandong, China, on April 30th in 1968.
I thought they were Canadian.
This happened in Canada, but Vince was born in China. He was a Chinese immigrant.
What?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
You can imagine how people felt about immigration after this happened.
Yeah.
So he worked. He actually graduated college in China, and he had a bachelor's in computer engineering. Mm-hmm. So he worked as a computer engineer in China until he emigrated to Canada in June of 2001. So he became a citizen of Canada in 2006, and he had actually been hospitalized before in 2003 for an incident involving police, mm-hmm. which I couldn't find any information on what that incident was, but they, you know, pointed out, like, he has a history, you know?
Okay.
And so he worked a lot of menial jobs over the years to support his wife, Anna, and for a time, he was actually working for Grant Memorial Church. And this is where he met Pastor Tom Castor, who said that Vince was a really kind, hardworking man, and who only ever seemed to get frustrated when he wasn't able to communicate with other church members. But he always was committed to doing his job well and never showed any signs of anger at work. Which I think is kind of crazy, because I don't know. Like, one of the main things that I thought about whenever I read that part of his life is, like, I can't imagine how he went from being, like, a whole-ass computer engineer in his country and then coming to Canada, mm-hmm. and then like having to like mop floors, you know what I mean?
Right.
And but he said that he was always really dedicated to doing his job well, that he always, and maybe that like contributed to part of his rage. I don't know. I really don't know. But
like, how do you get to that point? Like, is that like all there is on his backstory?
Pretty much, except for like his job history. That was like a big, that was really the only thing I could find about
that's
him,
insane. Is like his jobs. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, did he take some drugs?
He was married, but I couldn't really find a whole lot of information for his wife. I know that the day that he left and he committed the attack, he like left her a note saying that he was like, that he was like leaving, like basically like telling her goodbye. And dude. So I think we kind of, I get into a little bit over why he did what he did, mm-hmm. and maybe like we can kind of
okay
discuss that. But yeah, he was working with these menial jobs to support his wife, and then he quit the church after about 6 months, and he started working just a bunch of other different jobs, you know, never really staying anywhere too long. But his last job before the attack was at Walmart, and he worked there about 4 weeks before the attack, and he had gotten fired over a disagreement with a coworker. So in the weeks leading up to the attack, he was actually looking for a different job, and he had boarded the bus to go to a job interview. Mm-hmm. And somebody said that they had seen him. And this, I don't know why this creeped me the fuck out, but they said that they had seen him sitting on a bench outside of a grocery store, and he had his luggage with him. He was waiting to board the Greyhound bus, but it was 3 a.m., and they said that he was sitting upright, just, like, straight upright, like, not moving, and just, like, staring off into nothing, like, not blinking.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They said, sitting bolt upright with eyes wide open. At 3 a.m., bro. I don't know why that gave me the creeps.
Yeah, like being so like alert, but like completely unfocused.
Yeah, just like out of it, dude. Like, oh, I don't know. Just that's unhinged me.
That, I don't know why that made me think of the SpongeBob episode, the one he's stuck trying to catch the bus in that creepy underwater town.
Oh yeah. But he finally floats out the balloon, huh?
Yeah, dude, that gave me so much mad anxiety, and that's what exactly I know, that same dude. Type of feeling.
That's the same. That's the shit of nightmares. That episode, dude. That episode creeped me the fuck out. Mm-mm. Hated it.
Okay.
Anyways, so Vince's trial began on March 3rd, 2009, where he pleaded not criminally responsible due to a mental disorder. Okay. So he was schizophrenic. He was diagnosed schizophrenic, and his lawyer claimed that he was hearing voices in his head that he believed to be God telling him to kill the demon beside him, or he would be killed instead. And so that's kind of basically like the delusions that he was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, dude, like the idea of him like having these delusions and then just kind of like, I don't know, like just like that in combination with like him pacing back and forth and like talking to himself, mm-hmm. like, you know, like he's probably like having like this inner dialogue, yeah. of like where he thinks that he's talking to God in his own mind, and that God's telling him like, you need to kill this demon.
Did God tell you to eat him too?
I don't know.
To save his like nose and ears as a trophy and a Ziploc
baggie? I don't know. I mean, and that's what I was trying to like reconcile in my own mind whenever, right. I was reading about this story, is like, what would possess him? And maybe he was just like, oh, this demon is evil, like this demon is, it's hideous, it's evil, it needs to be destroyed, and I need to kill it in like the most heinous way I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only way that I could reconcile it in my mind, you know, mm-hmm. is like where he thought that he was doing like this grand fucking deed, you know, for mm-hmm. God.
It's just so weird because I feel like any person with mental illness at some point, I feel like, has moments of clarity, and maybe that those moments of clarity of like are which where he left his wife that note, or where like he was just kind of like,
and that's the thing of it, is that he had so many opportunities to just be like, let me get off this fucking bus because I'm gonna hurt somebody, you mm-hmm. know, or like, let me get out of here. And I guess I just don't understand how far gone you have to be in order to be at that place mentally where you do that to another human being, you know, right. what I mean? Like, I guess I just can't, I can't fathom in my own mind. And maybe that's because I've never gone through anything like that, but, like, the idea of, like, just, I don't know, just, like, just doing something so fucking sick and so heinous, dude, like, at the drop of a fucking hat, dude. Like, one moment, like, he's just sitting there, he's chilling, he's fine, mm-hmm. and then the next moment, he's, like, eating somebody's body parts. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand how your mind can, like, put you, like, get you to that place.
But, like,
without you being like, no, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like, yeah, like, no, you said, right. having those moments of clarity.
I don't know.
You just have to be completely fucking far gone.
It makes me think, like, once he did he, like, totally flip a switch in his head? Because, like, he tried running away from the cops. It's like,
he knew what he did was, at the very least, he knew what he did was going to get him in trouble, which, if you know that you're going to be in trouble, you know that what you did is bad.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. But yeah, so he said that he was hearing those voices in his head telling him to kill the demon. And the judge accepted this claim.
Mm-hmm.
And he ordered that Vince be sent to the Selkirk Mental Health Center for rehabilitation. And in February 10th of 2017, just 9 years after the murder took place, Vince was granted his freedom by the Criminal Code Review Board and was given an absolute discharge, meaning that he had no restrictions or obligations pertaining to his crime or his life outside of the hospital. He was completely free to start a new life with his new identity, as the year prior, he had also legally changed his name to Will Baker.
Are you shitting me?
Nope. Yeah.
But, like, why? Did they say why, like, he was just completely just, like, wiped clean?
Not necessarily. I mean, he went in front of a board, and okay. Before that he had, like, I think about 2 years before he had gotten released, he had spoken to the board about pretty much, like, removing him from the hospital and allowing him to live in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they granted that. They let him live in the apartment by himself. And they were giving him a lot more independence that eventually just led up to him being released.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that obviously, like, these people probably, I would like to think they do their due diligence and they talk to his doctors and they right. see, like, you know, progress. How he's doing. And I don't know, like, this is like a whole nother conversation of, like, do we have prisons to, like, punish people, or do we have prisons to rehabilitate people, to make them better people?
Right.
And then do we pass those judgments whenever those people are released, you know? Like, do we believe, like, well, that's like, is prison's only purpose to, like, torture people and they're supposed to be right. in there forever and take everything from them, or are prisons meant to make these people who do these bad things into better people, you know?
Right.
And so that's
I mean, I understand some things, like maybe like a drug dealer or something, but like someone who literally ate another person.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that they said, oh, well, it wasn't his fault. He wasn't criminally responsible for it because he didn't know what he was doing. Like, he was just so, like, insane mentally.
But is schizophrenia a disease that you can control? It just, you're right, because it just brings up so many questions that are kind of unclear, because it's like, if it is controlled, like, how do you not?
Well, yeah.
How do you have the security of knowing that he won't do it again?
Yeah. And that's kind of what Tim's mother, Carol DeDaily, I believe her name is. I think that she kind of summed up what we're all thinking about it. She said, Vince Lee got help. Good for him. Maybe he's feeling better today. My son's still dead. What if he chooses not to take his medications? We know what he's capable of.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's so traumatizing for a mom. Like, not even like,
it's not even like, oh, my baby died in like a car wreck, or my son died like in an accident. Like,
are you kidding? That's kind of sad on both sides, because like, who does he have now? Like, unless, like, people must know him, unless he like moved. And
yeah, I mean, you can see his face everywhere. He's kind of like nondescript. Like, there's really not, like, if you saw him walking down the street, like, I don't think I would look twice at him, even mm-hmm. after the research that I've done, you know?
Right.
But I don't know, like, it, I think for me, like, the biggest conversation I feel like that comes from this story is just that, you know, are prisons meant for rehabilitation? And can we really, like, shit on the fact that, like, oh, this person's rehabilitated? Right.
Like, why don't they deserve a second chance?
Yeah, but it's kind of like you said, where I feel like it's just, this is, like, so extreme. Like, this right. is so beyond, like, oh, well, they just, like, robbed a convenience store right. or they just, you know,
right,
like, people get more time for doing shit like that. People get more times for selling drugs than this guy got. He did 9 years in a mental hospital, two of those years which he was able to spend outside of the hospital, like, living his own life independently.
Sick. I tell you, there's people in the system that didn't even do anything, just got blamed wrongly, and this guy's over here like peachy.
That's what he looks like.
Oh, That's scary. I just didn't think that he would be like...
I know, it's creepy because he just looks like a dude.
Like an average dude. I just feel bad for... his name's Michael, right? The guy he murdered? Tim?
Tim? I believe he had a baby girl, too.
Oh, no.
That's him and his baby.
Oh, that's so sad. Imagine just him, like, just...
He was 22.
Oh.
Baby.
Just minding his life. Putting his headphones in and leaning after a long day at work and just getting completely butchered.
Exactly. Oh,
sick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sick.
I know, it's tragic. He was literally just beginning his life. And again, like I said, it's just one of those things where it was so fucking senseless. Like, it would have been as simple as, like, him taking another seat on the bus. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Dude, that's why I hate when people sit next to me at the bus. Even when I was a younger kid, I'd be like, nah, bitch, if I don't know you, do not sit next to me.
First of all, if you sit next to somebody instead of sitting by yourself, if you have that option to sit on your own bench, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Don't come over here and try to sit next to me and try to be friends. I don't want to be friends with you, bro. I want to be left alone.
Yeah, especially... that's weird. Oh, that's so sad. I just imagine for, like, his kid, like, knowing that her dad's killer is just...
just out, just hanging out, just chilling. And there's a lot, like, they released... I mean, not released. They received so much backlash from that. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, the justice system in general, you know, like, the mental hospital, the review board. And, again, like... I don't know, like, I feel like I could say this again and again, but it's, like, I don't know, like, I feel like prisons have to have more purpose than to just punish people. Mm-hmm. Like, there has to be some method to reform these people, but it's also, like, do some of these people, with the crimes that they've committed, I personally wouldn't really feel safe, like, if I found out that motherfucker was my neighbor, you know what I mean?
No, not at all. Oh, my God. Like, because, like, even his own mom said, like, one day he forgets his med. Like, everybody forgets their meds here and there.
Yeah.
No matter how important they are, whatever.
Exactly. And it's like, he's just out and he's just free. And it's like, okay, is like that a good thing? Because it's like, well, like they cured him.
Right.
Or is it like, you guys fucked up and you let out somebody dangerous. And he hasn't committed any other crimes, you know, at least anything that's like put him on the, like, mm-hmm. he hasn't ate anybody to our mm-hmm. knowledge, you know? But realistically... like she says, we know what he's capable of.
Dude, and it's just mind-blowing because, like, even, like, in our little town or whatever, we just know there's some people walking around that are fucking weirdos, bro. Yeah. Like, you know they're sick in the head, and they're just out.
Yeah, they're just out hanging out, chilling, walking amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so scary, dude. I think that's what's scarier than anything is, like, the fact that these people are just out here. They exist. We're around them every day, and it's, like, out, you know? Like, one day you could just be on the bus going home and you see somebody get murdered, or you have the fucking misfortune of being the person getting murdered, you know,
literally the wrong place at the wrong time. No fault of your own, just living your fucking life,
just existing, bro. And then somebody comes and sits next to you and they kill you in your sleep.
Sick. That man is sick in the head,
so sick. But yeah, that's that story. Isn't that depressing?
That is depressing.
They always are.
But also interesting because I've never heard of that one before. Story will take place in Mexico. And imagine, like, just like when, like, the whole, like, crazy, like, you know, when, like, police, like, go up to, like, the podium and they have, like, the interviews and the whole media and they finally announce, like, there's a serial killer on the loose.
Yeah.
So in 2005, an officer did just that, where he went up to the podium and basically announced to the whole public of Mexico that they're facing a terrifying phenomenon the work of a serial killer. He talked about how to them violence was like, which I have my own opinions about this, but like basically the whole idea of a serial killer was something new to them. Which that's why I'm just like, okay, but like
it's new for them to probably acknowledge.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have our own opinions about that, but right. they weren't used to like a whole like a serial killer doing the same thing where it was consistent
pattern.
And they also talk about this specific officer or whatever talks about how this is something that they see in movies and blah, blah, blah. And the USA, like, it's not something that they saw in Mexico, which I was just like, I kind of found kind of funny because it's like,
They said this happens in America. Not in Mexico.
Which we
not
all know is stupid because violence truly transcends any fucking border, anything.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah. And so this was the day that Mexico learned about the infamous El Mata Viejitas, or the old lady killer.
That's a little on the nose.
Period.
El Mata Viejitas.
Yeah, literally, old lady killer.
Yeah.
So Mexico City began to see an increase in elderly people murders in 1998, which of course sparked the speculation of a serial killer. But Mexico police at first denied any of the deaths were somehow connected. There were some arrests for some of those murders, which is weird because obviously we know better.
Yeah.
The killer would specifically obviously target elderly women over the age of 60 who lived alone. They would enter their homes either posing as a social worker or by offering to help carry their groceries. And all victims were strangled or bludgeoned from behind using their own belongings or a stethoscope and left on a chair or bed or the floor. Oh. Which is really sad because if you think about it, I feel like elderly women or men live really often. Like, I feel like that's very common in Mexico.
Themselves. And yeah. that's another thing of it too, is I feel like that was maybe one of the reasons why it got so much attention as it did, because I feel like in Mexican culture, Hispanic culture, like, we're like fucking trained, like drilled to believe and to like respect old people.
Elders are like sacred.
Yeah, like old people, dude, like, I don't know, like, we're taught to have so much fucking respect for, like, old fucking, generations. Like, yeah, like, all
they
the fucking old
They call
cats.
Like, they have their own, like,
what they call them, they call them doña and don.
Which means, like, what? How would you translate that in English? Like,
I don't know.
Sir and ma'am.
Fucking, they don't even have respect for their old people like that. So they don't even have a term. Like,
it's
kind of
like sir or ma'am, but, like.
It's like sir or ma'am, but it's, like, more elevated. Like, yeah, it's, like, it's a like very much a term of respect.
Yeah.
My mom got so pissed the other day because we were at a Mexican restaurant and they called her doña. And she's like, I'm not a doña. That's for old ladies.
That's fucking funny. So the killer would hang out in parks and gardens scoping out their next victim. So much so that all the victims lived around a park or garden, which is really fucked up. Because, you know, these probably old women just went around for a walk every evening and were picked out that way.
And they're easy targets.
Yeah, they're old women. And they're usually pretty nice.
Yeah.
So the common denominator between all these victims, other than their age and social profile, was that they all were a part of a government program offering financial aid, like, aid to elderly people. So they all, like, that's why I feel like, oh yeah, people are also nice to begin with if someone's gonna ask them, oh, you know, I'll help you with your groceries. But also these people were specifically enrolled in a program that people came to help them, so it wasn't something strange to begin with.
Okay,
so now we're gonna jump back in time to the 1950s, where a little girl, Juana Berraza, was born. She was born in Hidalgo, a northern city of Mexico. And, like, the articles that I read kind of described Hidalgo to be, like,
the slums.
Yeah, but I feel like that'd be offending some people because I really don't know anything, but that's how they kind of... She was born in, like, super lower class, so much so that she didn't even learn how to read or write. She was illiterate. Mm-hmm. Her mother, Justa Samperio, was an alcoholic who was always looking for just the next way to get her fix.
Yeah.
Which is reportedly why her mother exchanged Juana at the age of 13 to a man for guess how many beers.
I don't even want to know. It's probably something fucking pathetic, like two.
It was three. Three fucking beers.
That fucking scumbag, dude. What a fucking low life.
So Juana, the entire time that this man named Jose Lugo took her, She just felt like she was in a whole, like, trip.
Wait, like, he took her, like, he literally took her from her house and kept her for three beers.
For three beers.
I thought you meant, like, you could have her for, like, an hour.
No, she sold her daughter, her 13-year-old daughter, for three beers to a strange man. And so the whole exchange in Juana's 13-year-old brain was like, this is a sick joke. Like, this is a fucking dream. Like, there's no fucking way. Because he then takes her to her home And I, at this point, she's literally just hoping that her mother's going to walk in through the door and be like, you know, yeah. Or that even her stepfather, because she really never knows about her biological dad, because obviously, I mean, hot mess mom, but she actually trusted her stepdad, but he never showed up. So when no one showed up, and she kind of figured no one did, no one showed up when Jose takes her, ties her to his bed. They didn't show up when, for the next 5 years, she was raped. They didn't show up when she had an abortion, and not when she even birthed her first son. So over the span of 5 years, she was just tied to a bed, abused, raped, and through these horrific things. And she, I feel like definitely at that point, that just has to beat you down so low, because you're like, no one's coming. No one's fucking coming.
No, dude, like, it's such a hopeless situation. My life
was worth 3 fucking beers.
Ugh, my heart.
Yeah. So after 5 years, her uncles actually find her and rescue her. And so later,
I'm just so shook, dude, at the fact that, like, I don't know. It's just so sick, dude. It's like there was so many fucking people that failed her, dude. Everybody in her life, it seems, just fucking failed her completely. And
from the beginning, dude. From the moment she was born.
I guess at least she was rescued, but like at that point, it's like the damage is fucking done. And wait till you
hear this. So Hannah eventually finds out that her mom lied to her the entire family, and told them that she ran away on her own, like on her own. So her mom not only sold her for three beers, but she lied to the entire family. She could have been rescued that same day, I'm sure. They all, like... So I feel like she had family, you know, and she could have been particularly cared for, but her mom just fucked her to the end.
What an evil fucking bitch, dude. Mm-hmm. Evil bitch.
No. So,
and I bet you she milked that fucking sympathy too that she got from people. She was like, my daughter, they took my daughter lip. Oh my gosh, you fucking evil fucking cow.
And so, like, I couldn't find anything where, like, that man and so her mom ever got, like, arrested, which I doubt. I feel like some stuff. And that's if
they even believed her.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, she had kids at this point.
Yeah, but they could have been like, ayanda base, you know?
Oh, that's true. I feel like, it's just sick. It's really sick because I feel like she got rescued, but...
Did she really?
Yeah. So in her life, Juana had a variety of partners, all which were, of course, like, horrible abusing alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up having 4 children and even claims that she had witnessed her oldest son... who was 12 years old at the time, being bludgeoned to death in front of her. But that's like kind of like a, it's never been confirmed. Yeah, but that's what she says. But I'm just like, that I wouldn't even doubt it. I mean, it's just sick, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, sadly, she did not have any financial stability. Mm-hmm. And she would do like odd cleaning jobs. And on the weekends, she'd also do professional wrestling.
Okay.
So, which is really,
as one does.
Yeah, as one does. But her wrestling name, like her little performance name, was like the La Dama del Silencio, which means Lady of Silence.
That's kind of a hard fucking name, though.
Dude, but let me show you her little wrestling suit, because when I saw it, I laughed a little bit. I was like, this is like, she get it, girl.
She was on something.
Yeah, let me show you real quick, because. You guys need to. The mask is what gets me.
Oh my gosh. Did you ever watch Lucha Libre whenever you were a kid, like with your parents?
Yeah. Oh, it's a butterfly mask for me. She looks like.
Dude, for real. She looks a little like butterfly belt.
She looks like a pink Power Ranger.
Yeah, she kind of does. It's kind of giving.
Yeah.
Your little matching belt?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Too cute.
I mean, I know she's a murderer. I'm sorry. I'm over here like, oh my gosh. I just love butterflies, guys. Sorry.
Okay, so she would make 300 to 500 pesos, which would be the equivalent of like 30 to 45 bucks per match. So that was way more than she earned just doing like housekeeping jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
And people really like said that she loved it. She loved performing, like it was her thing and she enjoyed it, which is kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Juana sadly injured herself in a match where she hurts her spine at the age of 35. So obviously she can't compete anymore, because I feel like Mexico lucha libre or like wrestling is actually like physical. Like I feel like it's not like WWE. No,
just not like here, like the fucking WWE shit where it's
like they actually try and like hurt each other.
No, just clearly. They beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, clearly, since she walked out with a hurt spine. But Juana still stayed around, like, the whole wrestling area. She would sell popcorn to the... She would be a popcorn vendor.
Yeah.
So, and she'd actually do an interview where they were interviewing, like, I think, like, the wrestlers or whatever, and they interviewed her on January 26th. Mm-hmm. And so she appears on TV in that interview, and throughout the next week, her life just completely changed.
Okay.
So the killing of the old woman, older women, skyrocketed between the 1990s through January 25th, 2006. Mm-hmm. And Mexico actually asked the USA to help because they have, you know, a plethora of experience dealing with serial killers.
Right.
And so they literally asked the USA, like, hey, like, we need help because we've never, quote unquote, dealt with any serial killers.
Okay.
And this is why I talked to you about, I was like, it's funny how they all look to the U.S. and be like, hey, hey.
They're like, who are the guys who caught Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy? And
yeah, but literally, they import, guess who's, like, file? He's obviously, like, a very, like, well-known serial killer.
Okay. And he killed old ladies, too?
No. He was just the most... Because people were looking for someone that was middle-aged man, charismatic, a psychopath, smart, and definitely male. Yep.
Ted Bundy.
So they imported Ted Bundy's profile, and that's what they started, like, kind of investigating on.
Okay.
But we all know...
Ted Bundy is quite literally the blueprint.
Yeah, literally. Literally. So, and we all know things aren't black and white, obviously.
Of course.
So by November 3, 2003... they were looking for a tall man with rough features.
A man.
Yeah. Who even...
It's kind of a diss.
Yeah. So police literally were looking for a tall man with rough features, even though witnesses literally tell the police that it was like a nurse or something like that. Like
they tell them like it was a woman. Yeah. But they just don't refuse. They like refuse. It's kind of like... It goes back to that thing of like... A lot of people refuse to believe that, like, women are capable of, like, these really violent
crimes. Exactly. So, and, like, the identity of the old lady killer, the Mata Viejitas, was kind of, like, a myth.
Mm-hmm.
Because people obviously knew these murders were happening, and they kind of started creating that whole rumor, but police never publicly acknowledged it. There was at some point where I even read how it was, like, politically not in their favor, so, like... A lot of political officials shut it down mm-hmm. when the police tried to bring it up
mm-hmm.
Because it would have worked. Like, I think there was, like, the person in office at the time had, like, a healthcare something plan for, like, the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, that the Mata Viejitos would bring, like,
bad publicity.
Yeah, so even because he was being blamed for, like, the increase of deaths. Because, I don't know, old people get healthcare.
Yeah, so something's... they're like, we gotta fucking take them out so we don't have to pay for their healthcare.
Something crazy like that. But it was just ridiculous how long it went on without being publicly acknowledged.
Yeah.
Because of just something stupid like politics.
And then another detail, too, that I was thinking of, sorry to interrupt, mm-hmm. but I was thinking of the fact that, like, I'm pretty sure that police probably thought that it was definitely a dude because of, like, the fact that all of these people were being strangled, and it takes so much fucking strength to strangle somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, it has to be a man. It has to be like a big, strong man, but it's a big, strong lady.
Yeah. So authorities formed a special task force that was heavily pressured to make an arrest. So they went even after, because like you said, they had such a like, it has to be a man. It has to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
That they even went after, because witnesses would always say how it would be someone dressed like in a wig and like a nurse's outfit,
because she was big, huh? She was mm-hmm. she was big, yeah.
So they went after gay and transgender people because they didn't believe that it could be a woman. So obviously
leave them alone.
Yeah, so obviously that fell through because it wasn't any of them, but they literally never once considered that the killer might be a woman.
For sure, yeah.
On January 25th, 2006, a man was walking home when he saw the door of his landlady's apartment wide open. A tall woman was racing out of there. He decided to walk in and check up on, like, his landlord mm-hmm. when he witnessed, obviously, a horrible sight. Mm-hmm. His landlord was murdered, strangled, and left on the floor. But luckily, police, when he called us in, were super nearby. So they immediately ended up catching 48-year-old professional wrestler Juana Barraza. In the plastic bag she was carrying, authorities found a stethoscope, a list of elderly people signed up to the government's elderly aid program,
that's what she's finding them.
And other small items that she had stolen from the victim. So the court and police were like fucking dumbfounded, dude. Like, what?
Yeah, dude, they were shook.
Yeah, because they
said, it's a bitch.
Yeah, they're like literally like,
that's a huge bitch.
That's a big bitch. But she literally were just like, women cannot do that. Women only make sandwiches.
Women only make pupusas.
Literally. And they even bring in a neurologist to study her because they're like, nah, this bitch bonkers. Like,
well, yeah,
but they're literally like, they're just like mind fucking blown, dude.
Yeah.
And they find out that Juana had a slight alteration in her frontal lobe.
Okay.
Which is a common trait of serial killers. It really didn't go much into that, but that makes sense, I guess. Okay, and yeah. She seemed to lack remorse for her actions. So she was just like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Which, after learning all that she went through, she got, I mean, yeah, Lord only knows what happened to her in those 5 years. Because yeah. If he did not care, obviously did not care about her at all, like, you never know, you know?
Dude, 5 fucking years in captivity. And the fact that it wasn't even,
getting
like,
abortions and knowing that your mom did that to you. Like, you didn't even have to end up there. Like,
that has to weigh so fucking heavy on your heart.
And I bet you he taunted her, too. Like, oh.
Like, yeah, like, your mom fucking sold you to me for 3 beers.
Like, you're not shit. Like,
I hate that.
So, Barraza would approach her victims on the street, knock on their door, pretending to be a city council nurse or a social worker.
Yeah.
Initially, she would disguise herself by simply dressing in white clothes, but later she got, a actual nurse uniform.
Okay.
And depending on her victims' wealth, she would gain their trust and go inside their home by offering them, like, massages or helping obtaining, like, their medicines and just, like, daily tasks that are hard for them at that point.
Right.
And once her victims were distracted inside their house, she would strangle them directly. Like,
face to face.
Yeah.
Ooh, bitch, you're crazy.
If not, she would beat them first using moves that she learned in the wrestling career.
Oh my God, body slamming these fucking old ladies.
That made me kind of giggle, but like in a fucked up way, because she was literally like WWE old ladies. But I'm like, they're so fragile.
RKOing these fucking old ladies.
Yeah, like literally.
Look out. I'm sorry. That was bad.
But yeah, no.
Damn, dude. Sick? Fucking Randy Orton. John Cena.
She was like.
Undertaker. This bitch was the literal Undertaker.
She was literally the fucking. No, she was his evil stepbrother. What was his name?
Kane.
That bitch was evil. And so is Juana.
Did you remember Kane's intro, though? Yeah, Kane and the Undertaker had the two hardest fucking intros in WWE. Them.
And Randy Orton.
Do you remember they were like, speedo. May 13th, and Kane would go all fucking crazy? Do you remember that shit?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was so scared of him, dude. I was so scared of him.
Anyways, she was literally wrestling old ladies just to beat them up. Dude, I'm like, that's sick.
You don't need to do that. They're fucking old, dude. Like, you could literally fucking put a bag over their head and tie them to a chair and be like, and they're helpless.
She wanted to hurt them, and she...
She did. Dude, she got off on that shit. I think it was probably, like, the fucking power, like, that she had over them, because think about it, like, she was in a situation for 5 years, dude, and probably longer before that, because I'm sure that the situation, if she belonged to a mother who would sell her for 3 beers, I'm sure that the fucking 13 years that she had to live with her were not fucking easy.
Nope.
You know, so I'm sure that all she had known her entire life was just abuse, you
the
know,
underdog,
and she was just helpless to her entire situation. She was at the mercy of her mother. She was at the mercy of this man. Like, she had no fucking control over her own life. And so I think that with these murders, dude, I think that it was really just like a way for her to feel powerful. To
it was
feel
literally
control.
Just her outlet.
Yeah. Which for is her to feel sick. Like, oh, I'm the big, strong person here. Like, you can't do anything to
me. Because literally, like, she even lost doing that as a job professionally because she hurt herself. So imagine how, like, it was just, like, blow after blow.
That was a way for her to get that out healthily. Yeah. Like, to get that rage out and to feel that power and that strength in a way that's healthy and productive. And that was even taken away from her. And that was taken from her. And so now it just manifested in a way that was really just fucking evil.
Yeah. So she carried a bag with medical tools, like, as part of her disguise. Mm-hmm. But she would usually strangle her victims with her hands, or she would take, like, something from the victim's home. And she would leave that thing that she strangled them with, that, just, like, mm-hmm. in the crime scene. Right. She would also rob them, obviously. And even though she was illiterate, when they did a search of her home, they found a trophy room. And it had newspaper clippings of the murders, along with objects taken from the victims. And she had, like, an altar to Jesus Malverde, which I don't know what that is, and the Santa Muerte, which are just, like, two folk, like, the saints that are commonly, like,
associated with,
like, Mexican criminals. But they're, like, yeah. Santa Muerte is, like,
I thought that was, like, black magic, like, dark.
I think so. I think that's what we just taught. But I don't know a lot about it. Yeah, it's just usually associated with, like,
the only thing I know about that is in Dexter. Remember? Santa Muerte. That's what Deb would call it.
It's just creepy stuff. I don't know much about it, but she had an altar for those two things. But she was illiterate, bro. She couldn't even read.
But she knew it was about her.
Newspaper clippings, yeah. And then she made the police made her pose next to the bust that they made of her, like when they were trying to figure out who the murderer was.
Yeah.
And, like, they were so heavily criticized because she looked nothing like it. Because obviously they were looking for a man, and then I think the police
Why would they set themselves up like that?
Yeah, like, they were just trying to get roasted. Imagine if they had Twitter back then. I think they probably did, but it wasn't popping like it is now.
No, yeah. But
they literally were trying to, like, I think they released, like, what do they call, like, sketches?
Yeah.
And it was, like, a man nothing. With feminine features. Like, that's why they were, like, all around, just
dude,
lost.
Like, if it wouldn't have been, because she got caught because she got sloppy. Like, yeah. Who knows how long it would have taken them to catch her.
Literally. Imagine if her spine wasn't broken, that bitch would have.
Dude, fucking.
Speed it out of there.
T-1000 the fuck out of there, dude.
I was going to say Megamind, and I'm like, who the fuck Megamind?
Do you ever seen The Terminator?
Yeah.
He's, like, a variation of The Terminator, dude, and he's, like, boom, 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 boom.
Oh, my God.
Fucking scary as fuck, dude.
Ew.
Stuff of nightmares, that guy. Anyways,
so, sorry. At the end of her trial, she was convicted of 16 murders and 12 robberies. That's how much evidence police had to, like, link her to these crimes. To be able crimes. To,
yeah.
They actually think she murdered over 50 women. 50 women. And she was
you
only...
You would think she would tell them how many people she killed because, like, it seemed like she was proud of that shit, you know? Like, you would think she'd be like, yeah, I killed this many people.
But, listen. So, upon her hearing a verdict of 759 years in prison, mm-hmm. plus a fine of 2,086 days of minimum wage. That was her sentence.
They could sentence you to fucking slave labor?
Yep. And over there, she should have done this in Canada.
Slave labor? If she had done this in Canada, dude, she'd be fucking...
She'd be like, $1, please. Penalty.
dude, she'd probably be fucking chilling in a fucking hot tub right now.
So, Juana literally said this as she was being sentenced. This is the only thing she said. She said, may God forgive you and not forget me.
And not forget me?
May God forgive you and not forget me.
Girl, what are you talking about?
So, that was, like, the longest sentence ever given to a murderer in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy because... Mexico, she was also the first serial killer to ever receive a name.
In Mexico. And you said this was, what, 2003?
2006.
2006, really? They're a little late to the game.
Yeah. So, she now prepares and sells tacos in the prison yard on Mondays and Wednesdays.
What?
So, unlike others...
I wouldn't buy shit from her.
Yeah, and that's what she does now. She's literally stuck in prison for fucking ever.
You're like, what's in these tacos, fucking old lady? I don't think so.
Oh, no, she's not like yours where they're eating and shit, her victims. But, like, unlike other serial killers, Juana even never gave any interviews. Like, she wasn't, like, boasting about her
crazy,
interviews.
Though.
She didn't do any interviews regarding her crimes, and much like her wrestling persona, she fell into silence. So she literally, she just didn't, she didn't do interviews. She wasn't,
wow.
She didn't want any attention from it.
She wasn't exploiting it, I guess. again.
Yeah, so that's what I'm just like, it's just crazy. But she will be paroled regardless in 2050 at the age of 100.
100. What? Okay, hang on. I need like a moment to absorb this. Because first of all, this bitch is selling tacos.
And the courtyard,
in the fucking courtyard, dude. Okay, here's my thing.
Lay it on me.
Is that, I guess I feel like a little bit conflicted over the fact that, like, and maybe this isn't, like, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but, like, I guess just considering, like, that she had, like, a literal trophy room of, right, like, the newspaper clippings. Does she have items that she had taken from them?
Yeah,
from
the victims? Like, she would, yeah, rob them, so she would have, yeah, some stuff, have like, items. Yeah.
People, like, serial killers do that shit because they want to relive those crimes that they've committed, you know?
Right.
Because they get off on that. They get
but
off
like
on
you just said, she did that because she just wanted to feel power. She wanted to feel in control. Like, yeah, I did that, and, like, I got away with that. Like, yeah, that for sure has to feel like some sort of next level high.
Yeah, and that's the thing of it. And I guess that's why I felt like, I guess in my mind, I was thinking, like, she was proud of that shit, you know? Right. Like, she was like, look at all this. Look at all this attention. Look at all this shit I did.
Calm,
you know?
Girl couldn't read, and she had over there, like, yeah, newspaper clippings.
And so I guess I just figured that she would kind of be like, yeah, I did this, and I did this, and, like, talking about it, like, all day and night. Because even, like, hella popular, like, not popular, like, the most popular girls in school. Yeah. But, like, you know, like, very infamous, let's say that. Very infamous serial killers. Like, they give interviews, you know, like, they talk
about... Like, even
about,
Ted Bundy. Like, he did hella things.
He did his little interview where he was blaming it all on violent pornography.
I'm, I know.
Like, get the fuck out of here, you fucking psycho creep. Anyways, like, I guess I just would have figured that she would have kind of jumped at the opportunity to kind of like talk just about it. But I guess it's that adds layers to the shit, dude, because she was doing that shit because she liked it, because she wanted to, not because, yeah, she's like, I want this. Because you know how some people
do it,
like,
for attention.
They do it for the attention, yeah, like, because they get off on that more than anything. It's like, oh, people are looking for me. People are wondering who I am, what I'm doing, right, where I'm going to be next, you know?
And, yeah, like, for her, it was just like,
it was just like personal, like,
yeah,
the gratification of knowing that she fucking did that shit. And that's fucking twisted.
And it's really fucking sad, dude, because she does say that she does this because she hates her mom. Because she really, okay, just hates old ladies.
Dang, I didn't even think about that shit, dude. Yeah. Because, that makes a lot of sense. Well, that, yeah, makes a lot of sense, dude. Her mom fucking destroyed her life.
Yeah, and she just...
she didn't even give that baby girl a chance. And no. You know what? We're allowed to feel sorry for her because she was a baby girl when that happened to her. You know, she was a child. She was innocent. And she didn't deserve that for that to happen to her.
Yeah, that's why I was super conflicted. Like, I know we text each other and be like, oh my,
yeah,
God.
You're like, she has a sad background. I was,
yeah,
like,
and I'm just like,
that fucking devastating.
Okay, most of these serial killers do have just like a fucked up upbringing.
Yeah, they do.
But I'm just like, it's just sad. And it just brings up a lot of conversations, like even with Mexico and their whole, like, obviously we know there's a lot of shit going on in there. We're like, way our more first serial killer?
Like, our, what, first serial killer in 2006? It's like, no, homeboy, I'm sure that you guys probably had fucking hundreds and...
Your president.
It's just, and it's just the fact that it's just now coming to attention, dude. And I truly believe that it was coming to, like, because if, you know,
well,
if it would have been her.
Over 50 women after, oh, blah, blah, blah. Over 50 women had died, or older ladies.
Older,
like,
ladies, yeah.
How many, like, would have, if she would have just taken her time and paced herself, or, like, because she obviously did at some point, because the fact that police weren't, like, forced to, like, yeah, actually do something, like, imagine how many people actually complained.
Yeah,
that was like, you guys need to fucking do something, because,
exactly,
this is ridiculous. Because
those are like people's mothers, people's grandmothers, yeah, you know, like,
actually I remember that I think the landlady that died was a mom of someone important.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
And
there you go.
I just remember that because I read some article that said that once one of whoever's important political person's mom was murdered, mm-hmm, then it was like the pressure was set on cops to, like, hey, we need to do something now.
Yeah, I think
which is sick.
I think what it comes down to, dude, is the fact is, like, the attention that it got, I think, has a lot to do with the victim's age and gender.
Yeah,
like these older Hispanic women who are grandmothers, you know, who are very, like, they're like revered in Hispanic culture.
Yeah,
older
they're
women,
the,
you know,
matriarch.
Yeah.
Matriarch of, mm-hmm, family.
Of the family, dude, of the culture, really.
Yeah.
And so they're very protected, you know, they're, yeah, very respected. And, yeah, so I think that was one of the, because I feel like if it was her killing, like, middle-aged men, mm-hmm, I don't think anybody would have fucking batted an eye.
Not
I don't
at
think
all.
Anybody would have cared. And that's like, I don't know. Listen, I'm not saying that I don't love my country, my homeland. The motherland. I wasn't born in Mexico, but I'm a first generation American, and I feel like we kind of, I don't want to say that we've distanced ourselves from like that, but I think it's very like, there's so much, I feel like as much as we love our heritage and we love, you know, where we come from, where our family's from, mm-hmm. I feel like we also need to acknowledge that it's very damaged. It's very corrupt. It's very, yeah. You know, there's a lot that goes on there that is not like just fucking happy and pretty beautiful birds and beautiful landscapes, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like very common knowledge that the fact that the police are very corrupt, and it's very, very almost damn near fucking possible, dude, to get the police to do anything at all. Yeah. So I guess it's not a surprise that she got away with it for as long as she did, and she was able to do as much as she did.
That's why I'm just like, if she would have paced herself, if she would have just done some things that were like, because she got pretty bold. Like, I mean, she went from, like,
it was like broad daylight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just she running from the house.
She didn't care. I feel like at that point, she didn't care who saw her. Like, she was going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
So I feel like if she would have paced herself, if she would have moved around, like, it wouldn't have. Obviously, once she killed that one, like, politically important person, then, of course, then that turned heads.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, imagine if she wouldn't have killed her. If she would have chosen just another old lady.
Yeah. Or just fucking killed her at a different time of day when nobody would have seen her leaving the house.
Yeah, and it was 2006, so like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Her butterfly mask fell down. Never recovered.
Fell all the way down, man. Leave the butterflies out of this, bro. Butterflies are sweet, gentle, beautiful creatures, which you are not. You're a big, mean monster.
Big mean bitch.
She's a fucking ogre, that lady, dude. That's not a diss on her appearance. That's a diss on her being a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
So you know what? We're allowed to bully serial killers.
It just fuck them. Makes me laugh. Not laugh because it's so fucked up, but I just imagine you're her gonna like laugh WWE-ing
it's
like
uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to, like, think about, so you have to like laugh.
Dude. Like, imagine, like, even like, it's just funny to me, like, even if she was like trying to like WrestleMania me, like if she came into your house and she was just trying to like wrestle me,
dude. She'd rock my shit, dude. I don't know how to fight.
She was like RKAing you, and you're just like, stop.
You can say whatever you want.
Can you imagine just trying to fuck you into a fucking chokehold?
And that's the thing, dude. That's the thing, is that she didn't have to do that.
But she was over here performing, bitch. She was over here fucking performing. Like, I wonder if she ever took out her costume and just like smelled it and it was like, okay, tonight's the night.
I know, dude. Like, she was like fucking like Batman.
Imagine if she showed up in her fucking wrestling costume.
There's a fucking butterfly in the sky instead of the fucking bat, the bat symbol. She's like, it's time.
Ew. Anyways.
Anyways, yeah.
Don't buy her tacos.
Don't buy her tacos. Don't buy anything from her. Don't support serial killers, please, of any kind. Don't write to them. Don't fucking give them. I'm like over here, like, don't give them attention. Like, we didn't spend an hour just fucking talking about this lady. But don't glorify them.
No, not at all.
Don't glorify them, because they're not good people. And she went through something very tragic that she didn't deserve to go to. And we're allowed to have sympathy for her, and we're allowed to feel for her. But
there's a line, and you don't cross it.
But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't make her a good person, and doesn't make her redeemable. Just like this guy, you know.
Yeah, it's just crazy how, like, she got, like, 1,000 years in prison, and he's just, like, a slap on the
totally
wrist.
Two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, literally.
How did that work out? Crazy. She got fucking 1,000 years in prison.
And she might get out when she's 100 years old.
Yeah, right, she's gonna get out when she's 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't know, dude, that's crazy.
It's really fucking insane.
Good story, though.
We did good.
I know. Short but sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, sure. We've probably been recording for like an hour and a half.
Have we? I feel like it wasn't even that long. I feel like I was...
It's just going to be blabbering.
That's true. I feel like our intro was like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, right. It was like 4 minutes long. You know what's been 30 minutes long? I was talking about fucking wrestling. Like,
dude, for wrestling real. Moves. I'm reading that.
Listen, I grew up on wrestling. I love it.
Me too.
I want to go to... We should go to a WWE show.
Oh my God, we need to. Maybe we can do that for...
We
like
should go to WrestleMania.
I want to touch Randy.
WrestleMania is running wild. Do you remember that?
No.
That's fucking Hulk Hogan, man.
Oh, I wasn't a fan of Hulk Hogan.
You remember Hulk Hogan? He go...
I hated him. I was a little emo bitch, and I liked Randy Orton. I like Undertaker. I like Kane. And who... God damn, I can't remember their names. Like, they were the brothers.
The Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Jeff and Matt Hardy.
I love them.
They'd go, Did I remember all their intros? That's what I remember the most.
Dude, it's because it was iconic. I was like, goddamn.
Dude, it was just like so big. I got the goose pimples. I know. I'm like, I think that's why I'm as dramatic as I am, is because I watched fucking wrestling growing up.
You like trying to walk in the room with smoke and shit. Yeah, dude. Fireworks.
I'm over here like, where's the cameras? Where's the cameras? Roll out. Like, do you remember Melina? She was my favorite WWE diva. Oh,
that sounds like so familiar.
She would roll out this little red carpet, dude, and she would have photographers take pictures of her. And then before she got in the ring, she would do the splits.
You know, oh my god! There was this little
the baddest. All I know is that I love John Cena because I was fucking corny like that. I thought he was so hot,
with
dude.
His little fucking basketball jean shorts. His dad shorts. And his sweatpants.
He probably
bitch.
Still wears fucking
for Halloween,
jean
he
shorts.
He should be like John
shorts.
Cena. Well, probably to relive his glory moments. Ugh, he was over here, he's over here dude. Thinking he's a fucking actor.
You know what? He is an actor now, bitch. Because he's in the fucking, what is it? DCU?
Ew, I hate DCU, him as an actor.
Yeah. Ah, dude, he's cool. I like John Cena. He's a good time. You know who my favorite was? What? Ric Flair. Hmm. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo! Okay, sorry. We're
Halloween, Norma's gonna be the Undertaker.
They're cutting us off now. I'll be the Undertaker, dude. Fuck yeah, let's do it.
I know, but I get to be the Bald Man.
Okay, sick. I'll be Ric Flair. You be the Undertaker.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. Anyways, now that we've worked that out,
goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye. A few moments later.
She's like 90 years old.
Yeah. She probably might. She might actually be a pterodactyl.
She's a lizard queen. Oh, shit. Ramble number 2.
Fuck her. Team Diana.